Maybe things appear to be hopeless from your perspective as you look at the direction this nation is going in. Pastor Jeff says look up and your perspective changes.
In the end, guess who wins? We do. You know, and we get so blue and so down and so bummed out at what's going on today in our nation when we should be looking up and excited, especially when you start to see things going together in the Middle East. It's exciting. There's hope at the end.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
While our nation appears to be in trouble, and there's a steep moral decline, how are we to react? Do we throw up our hands and give up, or just buy a bunch of freeze-dried food and move to a secluded place, wait for Jesus to return? Today on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff Johnson shows us how we're to live until Jesus comes. And it starts by getting our eyes on Jesus, rather than the circumstances surrounding us.
Well, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and so go ahead and turn there in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to learn how to live till he comes, okay? And this is a great teaching from Peter. We need to get into it, and we need to let it get into us. So I'm going to start out by just sharing a scripture out of Romans chapter 8 in verse 17. Where Paul says, and if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the glory of the Lord in us, being revealed to the world, being revealed to us. How's it come out? Well, trials refine us for glory. What can I say? Preparing us for going home. Christian life's not easy. The rewards outweigh our hardships. Come on. Joy, salvation, our hope, that it outshines the sun. We have a home in glory that outshines the sun. So Peter, in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we continue the story here, and it's a call to Christian dedication. And Peter says in verse 13, wherefore? Now, the wherefore is because of the therefore, okay? The therefore was what he was sharing with us the last few weeks. So the wherefore comes after the therefore. So because of what I've been sharing, you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, that's where a lot of the battle is. Be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So because of all that he's done and given, we're to live holy lives. Gird up the loins, he says. Now you remember when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, that the Lord told them to move quickly. In fact, back in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 11, he says, and thus shall you eat with your loins girded. So eat what? Eat the lamb. Remember that each home had a lamb. And God told him to take a lamb into your home. That lamb was there for a number of days. And the kids all named the lamb, of course. And they played with the lamb. A little lamb is so cute. And yet, at the end of that, they slit its throat. And they put the blood on the doorposts. Exactly what God said to do. Such a description of Christ being the Lamb of God, which is slain for the sins of the world. And everybody that had that blood on their doorpost, that's the angel of death, passed over their home. No one died. But listen to what he says in Exodus 12:11. So you shall eat the lamb with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, that you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So their loins girded. What is this loins? He talks about the girding up of the loins. It's the long robe that they would wear. Many of them, most of them, that was the fashion. You all have a long robe that you wear. And when you went to work and you worked and you went to battle, you would take the loins, the long part, and you would bring it up and put it in your belt so you could move freely. It didn't hinder you. So what is he saying? He's saying, make haste, gird up, get ready. They were redeemed by the blood. They were called pilgrims. They were entering into a new life. They were going to get their baptism in a little bit when they went through the Red Sea and come up into that promised land with a new hope. And everything is ahead of them. Again, the loins of the mind. No slacking in your thought life. Don't even think of it. I mean, the long robes with the long faces, you know. No. Gird them up. Get ready. This is going to blow your mind. What you're about to experience is all God. God saving the firstborn. God making a way where there seemed to be no way. Trapped at the Red Sea. Boom. He opens the Red Sea and they go through. I mean, it's all Him. So get excited, the thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let me just read it to you. 10:4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, and definitely we're at war, are not carnal or of the flesh, but they're mighty through God. And he says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he talks about casting down any knowledge that's against God, anything that the enemy would put into your mind, that's in verse 5, and bringing your thoughts into captivity of Christ, you know, having victory in your mind, being able to have the truth of God there to answer the stronghold. Because, you know, he'll try to get a toehold, then he'll try to get you into a foothold, and then comes the stronghold. And the stronghold is holds on strong, and you're not going to just break away from that. Something way greater than any of us need to come in and liberate us, and that is the Lord. He's the only one that can break the stronghold in your life, and you can give God all the glory for it. Delivering you from whatever, you know, the lust of the flesh, you were a disobedient child of God at one time, called, a child of wrath. But God reached down and saved you. What a testimony. So the loins of the mind stayed upon Calvary, what he did on the cross, looking forward to his return. Over in Ephesians, Paul writing to those in Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 14, listen to what he says. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So have, you know, the belt of truth is around your waist, but you stick your loins that can hinder you and cause you to be long in your face and not be able to move in your life, and that will hassle you, you tuck it in. And that's part of our equipment, the belt that we can, and it's the belt of truth. To have the God's truths in your mind, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. So we're all longing to be free in our minds, to be able to think about Him and to worship him and to cause the confusion to stop, because, you know, there's many voices and we're always getting hassled. There's a liar in the land and he continues to lie to us. So we need the truth. 2 Peter, you're there, chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Peter, just go on over. Chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things that Peter's talking about is going to be dissolved, they're going to happen. What manner of persons ought you to be in your holy conversation and godliness? We should be living holy lives, godly lives, because we have chosen to go his way, not the world's way. And anybody that is going to follow him is going to live a life that's holy. So we're going to talk a lot about that this morning. We need to be alert. Oh, turn with me now to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Wow, that's an interesting statement. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, like the world, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be sober-minded. That's important. I like that scripture in Mark's gospel where Jesus was dealing with the demon-possessed man. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, after this man was delivered, they came to Jesus and the whole village came out because they heard what happened. They wanted to see this man who was possessed with a legion of demons, that he's healed. And they go, come on. He's always been out there screaming and hollering, chained. They had to chain him. And he was super strong. But it says in Mark 5, 15, they came to Jesus and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion sitting. He's not standing or, you know, growling or doing anything. He's clothed, whereas before he was naked. He couldn't care less. And in his right mind. And they got afraid. Whoa, what happened to this guy? He's just sitting there smiling at him. That's the most awesome thing. He was demon possessed. And God delivered him. That is so powerful. In his right mind. I want to be in my right mind to be alert. I don't want to be drunk. I want to be on for him. His word reveals so many awesome things. It reveals the future of nations. You can get into the Bible and find out what is the future for the nations of this world. It lays it all out for you. Then you can also see and look at the mystery behind the grave. What happens when you die? Well, the Bible just lays it out for you. Makes it very clear. There's power to change hearts, to make drunk men sober. That's amazing. I was drunk with the world, in the world. He sobered me up. Anyway, we have a one-step plan here. You know that? There's a lot of them have the 12-step and the 15-step or whatever step. Ours is one step. You know what that one step is? All right, that's it. One step, just receive Christ. Boom, everything takes effect. Everything happens. Why? Because it is powerful what God did 2,000 years ago on Calvary. When he allowed his son to die for our sins, he allowed him to die for you and for me, personally you, and to make you sober, to bring you out of the lethargy that this world is in, to open your eyes to what's really coming down, and to open your ears so you can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and how we're to be living and what we're to be doing. Very important. So to true disciples are always optimistic. I mean, God, look at what God's done. He's given us knowledge. He's given us understanding, wisdom, hope for the end. That in the end, guess who wins? We do. You know, and we get so blue and so down and so, bummed out at what's going on today in our nation when we should be looking up and excited, especially when you start to see things going together in the Middle East. It's exciting. There's hope at the end. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 20, listen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Our God will blow your mind, the things he wants to show you and the things he wants you to see. He will bless you beyond blessings. It's always darker before the dawn. And the reason it's so dark today is because the dawn is rising. The day is at hand. The Lord is coming back. So the darker it gets, the better it is for us. And so the more excited we should be, because everything's falling into place. Our outlook always determines the outcome. If you've got a bad outlook, so your outcome will be bad. I mean, I was thinking of Abraham. Abraham, and he sought for a city, not of this world, but of what God was preparing. Abraham, way back there, and in faith, he followed God. We're his children. Abraham's our father of our faith. And we believe because what he did, he just simply believed God and moved out. He believed in what God promised. Now, what's interesting about that is that Lot, he didn't go there. Lot went to Sodom. Now, Abraham was blessed. Lot, not so. He entered into judgment. I mean, it just depends on your outlook. Years ago, there was an Atlantic liner crossing the pond. And there was a huge storm. There were waves, hurricane winds. The ship was tossed to and fro, taken in water. I mean, they were hiding out inside of the ship, and their faces were long. They thought they were all going to perish. And all of a sudden, the door opens, and one of the passengers comes in and says, "Hey, everybody, it's all right. I've seen the captain's face, and he's not worried. It's going to be all right." What's really interesting about this is that he said everything's under control. What I believe is that Peter has seen the captain's face, and there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear. Everything is all well. Now, to the normal person, they're looking at this nation and what's going on. They're saying, not well. We're in trouble. We're going down. What's happening? This is happening. That's happening. And they're freaking out. Because they're looking at what's just the outward. The outward things that we're seeing today, that's going to just all change. It's going to fade away. But we need to have the upward look at the Lord. And when that is focused in, this becomes meaningless. Oh, yeah, we want the best for our families. We want to do our best for our families and work hard and see our families come to know the Lord and live for the Lord. And that should be our goal. That's how we should be living, not living like a worldling in the world, striving for this, striving for that, climbing the ladder and just doing all the things that world people do. No, we need to give our hearts and our lives to the Lord. So, remember Peter, he walked on water as Jesus bid him to come to him. Remember, Jesus came out, as the story goes, and he was walking on the water in a storm, and there was raging waves, and Peter saw him and said, "That's the Lord." And the Lord said, "Peter, come on. The water's fine. Come on out. Just come to me." So Peter, he obeyed, and he started walking on the water until he looked down and saw the waves and everything, and then he began to sink, and he shouted the shortest prayer in the Bible, and that's, "Lord, save me." Some of you maybe need that this morning. Maybe that's something you need to cry out. "Lord, save me from what's pulling me down, for what's taking me down." But the lesson, oh, the monster waves of life that they come over and our heads are just kind of taken by them. But They're under his feet. We have to understand those ways are under his feet. He's victorious. And because he's victorious, we are victorious. Because he lives, we are going to live a life more abundantly. Over in Luke 21, Jesus is talking about the end times. He says in verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, on the moon, stars. The earth will be in distress of nations, with perplexity, I mean, no way out. The sea and all the waves roaring. Men's hearts will fail them. They'll have heart attacks for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken." And there's stuff going on in this earth that have never gone on before. And we're seeing it, and men's hearts are failing. And then in verse 28 of Luke 21, it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass," Jesus says, "look up, for your, lift up your heads, your redemption, your salvation is drawing near." When you begin to see these things happen, we're way into the beginning of these things. Now, it's just, it's any day. I mean, what else needs to happen prophetically? Nothing. Just him coming back. Interesting how on TV now you see Russia, Syria, and Turkey all coming together in the Middle East. This is a first. These three nations have never come together like this. That's exactly what Ezekiel 36, 37, 38 says, that they're going to come together in the end times. And not only are they going to come together, they're going to come down through Lebanon to Israel. We are so close, guys. It's just exciting. What a time to be living in, to seeing these things. And this has substance. That's why we need to get our eyes upon him. The substance is the Bible says these things are going to happen with the weather, with the changes in this world at the end, with the earthquakes and all, one thing after another, all of it's taking place today.
The signs around us couldn't be clearer. Jesus is coming soon. So then, how are we to live? Pastor Jeff Johnson will be right back to address that as Sound Doctrine continues. Well, you can hear these studies in 1 Peter anytime you'd like at sounddoctrineradio.org. If you have a smartphone or tablet, download our free app. And just do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey. That'll enable you to hear the very latest message from Pastor Jeff. And we can also send you a CD copy of this message when you call 800-353-7553. If you've been listening for just about any length of time, you know that we're committed to bringing you the sound doctrine that we find in God's Word. But we can't do it alone. We rely on the faithful support of our listeners to do this. And if you would like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request our featured resource. It's called The Crucified Life by A.W. Tozer. You may recall it was the Apostle Paul who declared in his letter to the Galatians that he had been crucified with Christ. But what does that mean? Is this a claim every believer can and should make? Well, The Crucified Life is a comprehensive examination of these questions, and Tozer set out to answer them with deep biblical thinking. At the heart of this book, you'll find a call to follow Christ to the cross and be raised to new life. To order a copy today for just $15, visit sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Let's head over to Titus in our remaining time together.
God's grace is upon us. Titus, I love Titus. Titus chapter 2, those of you taking notes, verse 11 through 13. "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, God's unmerited favor. It's been given out to anyone who wants to reach out and say, I want it. I want God's grace, that I'm never going to earn it, never going to merit it, Never, you know, he wants to give it to me. It's a free gift. And then he says, and teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're to be putting off certain things, worldly things, and putting on those things that are godly and holy in the Lord. And that's the change.
We are again talking about how we are to live till Jesus comes next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,